I've said this before, but I am always so truly impressed with teen entrepreneurs. And I'm equally impressed with how early in life some of these entrepreneurs start. Our guest today is one such teen entrepreneur. 15-year-old Benjamin Wong is doing amazing things on this earth. He has his finger directly on the pulse of what's happening today as far as tech and social media. He knows what grabs the attention of the public, and he's not afraid to go after it. He has no limits. And all the while, he remains humble and kind. Take a listen.
Hello, Benjamin, and welcome to Time to Spill.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Okay, let's just jump right in. So you are 15, and when you grew up, you learned all of the business ropes from your family. They had a family business. What was that business?
Yeah, so a few. When I was really young, you know, maybe before I was 11 or so, we had a family food pasta business. It was called Maple Grove Foods, and it was based out of LA area. And my parents are both VPs, my uncle was CEO. And that was a really cool experience because, you know, as my uncle was CEO, we'd often come to the office and he'd give us tours all around. We'd know all the employees and stuff. I'd even sometimes when I'm sick, I would hang around at my mom's office, marketing office. And yeah, it was definitely a really cool experience just growing up and seeing my parents as executives and kind of wanting to have that role. But then I guess part two of that was when I was in sixth grade or so, my parents both left their jobs to go start their own food business that was more around what they really wanted to do. I mean, pasta was great, but they wanted to do something that was more aligned with their purpose and their passions. So they started a food business called Baviva Foods, which was all about snack friendly or snacks that are easy to eat on the go, also great for digestive purposes. I won't go too much into that, but those are the main two.
Okay. And so their second business is still in business now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So your first business was selling handpicked avocados.
Yeah.
Right? No lemonade stand, avocado stand. And you did that so that you could earn some money to buy toys and games. And how old were you then?
This was 2015. So I want to, I used to say 11 years old, but I'm pretty sure it was earlier. Because that was, 7 years ago. I'm 15 now, so maybe 9 or 10, maybe even 8. And so basically, I just wanted to buy these Funko Pops for Star Wars. You know the bobbleheads, Darth
yes.
Vader, Luke Skywalker, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I, instead of asking my parents, because I kind of felt guilty, you know, I don't really need this. I know that I don't need this, but I kind of wanted to. So what do you do in that case? You go and make the money yourself, right? No one loses money. You're just getting money from strangers. Using that to buy your things. So I just got a ladder to my backyard and we climbed the trees, me and my friends. We picked the avocados, threw them in a box, street corner, boom, $30 in an hour.
Wow. So they were your avocado trees in your yard.
Yep.
Very neat. And then I heard on another podcast episode that you did that you recruited some people. Your sisters kind of did the marketing and...
Yeah. So my little sister and her friend happened to be over. So me and my two friends, Nehemiah and Nathaniel, I'm still very good friends with them today. We hired them to, I think we paid them like $5 in Target gift cards. We hired them to do marketing, but you know, a giant cardboard box, like an Amazon box, and they would write like avocados on it. We'd stick two poles to it and like hold them up. So they would hold those up. And then my friends would like wave down people who were driving up the street to come buy avocados. And yeah, it was a nice family bonding activity, I guess.
That's very good. So the entrepreneur spirit started then. That's interesting. Okay. I know that for a while, and maybe even now still, you had a huge interest in stocks and trading. So can you explain to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So when I was 11, and I guess the story goes back a little bit earlier. Funny story, though. I don't know which exact podcast you listened to, but there was one podcast that a lot of my family tuned into it because it was one of my favorites. And so my uncle, who bought me my first ever stock when I was even younger, I didn't really know what it meant. But she later texted my mom and said that was the best use of $100. It was $100 of Disney stock. He said that was the best $100 she's ever spent. And so that was my first ever stock, was a Disney stock around that age, you know, 9, 10 era. And then from there, when I was around 11 years old, my dad kind of introduced me to stock trading, the ability to own companies. So when I was 11 years old, on my birthday, he gave me $100 for my birthday, set up an account for me, and I just got away with, you know, stock trading and buying my favorite companies, making some money, losing some money. And it was just an altogether good experience that I then used to create the Kids CEO podcast.
Okay. So are you still into stocks and trading as much, or?
Oh yeah, I check my portfolio every morning.
Wow. Okay.
I'm experimenting now with different things. Just got into options trading, but yeah, I actively do that.
Excellent. Okay, and then I think when you were 12 is when you started the Kid CEO podcast.
Yeah, it was around then. So basically, I was making money on. It wasn't that much, like $20, but I was making money on stock trading, right? Like I would put in $20, make $50. That was a lot for 11-year-old. And so basically, naturally, I would go around my 11-year-old self and like say, hey, you know, I made so much money here. I didn't even do anything, like free money, basically. Or like I would say that I own different companies, you know, like you're wearing Nike shoes. Oh, I own that company. I mean, I have one share of Nike stock, but. And so from there, basically, a lot of people were like asking me, friends and even teachers, hey, Ben, how did you get into stock trading? So I would just send them links initially. But then my mom was like, hey, podcasts, they were new back then. It was 2018. You know, you should try doing a podcast. And I also wasn't great at public speaking then. And so I guess my mom also wanted to use that as a way to kind of improve that as well. And so just kind of everything came together and I created a podcast all about finance and investment.
Very interesting. Who so far has been your most interesting interview overall?
You know, I did an interview with a guy named Evan Carmichael, and this was about a year ago, maybe a little bit less than that. And he's a motivational YouTuber. He's like, I think he has 3 million subscribers now, but that was one of the first interviews I did for Young Trap. And I have to say that was one of my favorites. So we had him on and it was a condensed interview. It was the shortest interview I've ever done because he's, you know, a busy person. I only had 25 minutes, but it was one of the most impactful that I've ever released. And I still to this day say that's my favorite, but there's a ton of ones that I also enjoyed. You know, back in the Kids CEO days, a year or 2 years ago, there was a few podcasts that I really enjoyed there, like with Jacob Jackson, interviewed him. It was one of my first interviews. And that was a really, really great episode. I still tell people to go to the episode. Was really proud of the editing work that we did there. And then there's a few other ones. You know, I interviewed a guy named Devin Burke, a sleep coach. And that was a subject that I was personally very, very, very passionate about. And I wanted to learn more about it. I had his book, read the entire book. And that was a great episode. One of my favorites as well. You know, I just did an episode last week with a guy named Peter Walsh. He's Oprah's go-to organizer man. And so basically his thing was all about downsizing, letting go. And that was also a great interview. But I have to say Evan Carmichael one still at the top of my list.
Okay. I'm going to go back and listen to that one now.
Yeah.
Okay. And then after the Kid CEO podcast, then you started the Kid CEO Summit. Correct?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So after the podcast, I kind of took a little break from it and I decided that, you know, I built this kind of community. Let's get everyone together for a summit. You know, I was inspired by the How I Built This Summit with Guy Raz. And so I had the summit. Everyone got together, a virtual, and it was great. I think it was 2 days of fun, a lot of learning, a lot of making new friends. Glad to say that a lot of the people who met over the summit are great friends today and who still are engaged in the community. And that was a great experience.
That's a lot of work putting a summit together.
Yeah, it was stressful, but it was very satisfying at the end. I remember we had at the very end, a family dinner with a few friends with who were helping out with the summit, I would have like different people in different rooms. I would, my sister's boyfriend was in one room manning this station. My sister was in another room manning this station. My little sister was spamming the emojis in the chat. It was a whole operation in the house. But at the end of it, we had like a nice, I think we ordered in like steak and stuff. It was a nice, very satisfying at the end.
Very nice. That sounds great. Do you think you'll have any more summits in the future?
Possibly. My one of the people I work a lot with, Josh, he's another, I think he's 13, 14 now. I work a lot with him. He helps me with Young Trap and Kids to EO and everything. And he's been trying to get me to do another summit. So maybe it's always on my mind, but nothing planned so far.
Okay. What year did you do that summit?
It was about a year ago. So February 21st to 22nd of 2021.
Okay. So right in the middle of the pandemic. Yeah. Okay. So virtual was definitely the way to go for that.
Yeah. And we didn't use Zoom. We used like a software designed specifically for online summits. And so it was really cool. There were stages, there was different tables that people could sit at. It was really cool. So maybe we'll do it again. Who knows?
Okay. Do you think you would ever do an in-person summit?
Possibly. You know, there's different struggles there because, you know, if the virtual summit was stressful, then the in-person summit, you know, is a whole different ballgame. But sure. It's always on my mind, you know, being able to do a physical, you know, being able to meet everyone in person.
Okay. So then that kind of segues into another question I have for you regarding tech, because there's so much tech available to us nowadays and apps and everything. What's one of your, do you have a favorite thing that you work with, a favorite tech, a favorite app?
My favorite app, I mean, it's pretty basic, the music app. I've experimented with Spotify and Apple Music right now. I'm on Apple, but I use the music app by far. It's the simplest app. You just literally use it to play music. I use that app by far more than anything. Okay. I use it in the mornings when I go to the gym, use it in the car, on the way to things. Whenever I'm working, I'll play some music. Whenever I'm reading, I'll play some music. By far, that's my favorite app.
Okay. All right. So now I'm going to ask you then, what's your favorite song that you're currently listening to often?
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, my playlists are, my made for yous are so kind of jumbled up because you'll see like pop music and then classical music and then jazz, because I'll use different things for different things. You know, when I'm working on business stuff, I have modern music. When I'm doing studying for school, I'll have classical music. When I'm reading, I'll have a jazz classical hybrid on. I'm really listening to The Weeknd's new album, John FM, a lot.
That's a good album. Good,
yeah.
Okay. So you've mentioned Young Trap a few times with us talking now. I know you met with Adam and Matthew Torin. They're the founders of Kidpreneurs.org, and they helped you start Young Trap. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I met them through the summit. They were our sponsor, and they kind of mentioned the idea of continuing what I was doing with Kids to EO. At that point, it had been 2-3 months since I released any new content, and there was mutual interest in creating a new podcast that was had a somewhat same audience but a different tilt. Instead of doing as many stories, it was also a lot of bringing on entrepreneurs like Evan Carmichael, Devin Burke, and everyone. I have a few interviews later today of, you know, people who would be paid to be a speaker at an event. You know, speakers, coaches, consultants, entrepreneurs, bringing them on to share their advice for kids. And that's still what we do today.
Okay. And then I guess I picture it as like a container for all of this is Kids CEO Media. Am I correct in saying that it's kind of like a container for everything that you do? Okay.
Yeah.
So when did you start Kidsio Media, and what's your vision for that? Or what was your vision for that?
Yeah, I mean, Kidsio Media is just kind of a, like you said, a container for everything I'm doing, from the podcasts to the Discord server that we're doing, to events like the Kidsio Summit, to new projects that we're working on, like the Kidsio Heroes NFT project that's coming up in a month or two. But that's just kind of, you know, what it is. I started it. It was never really a formal start. It was just kind of like one day, hey, I should just put all this kind of together into one thing. It's the EO Media. And yeah, I've kind of used that ever since.
Okay. And you mentioned Kids EO Heroes. That's your latest project that you're working on. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Kids EO Heroes is an NFT project I'm working on with Jaco Jackson. We're gonna release a few more details soon. Right now, it's still kind of hidden, and we're doing that intentionally. But it's an NFT project all about one, supporting youth philanthropists and continuing their work, like Jaquil, and two, providing unprecedented experiences. And I can't announce too much, but and a lot of fun on the way. So Jaquil's heavily endorsed by so many companies like Nike, Gap, H&M, and it's all about kind of leveraging that to create an experience for his fans.
Okay. So there'll be some utility then behind the NFTs.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Well, I look forward to hearing more about that project. So you homeschool now, correct?
Yep.
You like that?
Yeah. I homeschooled myself in this school year. So okay. September, both my sisters, older or younger, older is a senior, younger is in seventh grade. They're both public schooled. But I chose to homeschool myself because over quarantine, I kind of realized that I find a lot of value in being able to make my own work schedules. You know, I tell myself what to do and I get it done. I would like to think I get it done pretty well. And being able to wake up when I like to and everything like that. I know the waking up part is minor, but just being able to set my own schedules, be able to do interviews at 10 a.m. on a Thursday, it was very beneficial for me, and especially all the incentives the state of California has with, you know, college, you know, benefits to, I take all the college classes, so I could skip 2 years of college and skip 2 years of high school if I would like to, but there's just a ton of benefits for me. There are downsides, definitely, nothing's too good to be true, but I think I've done pretty well with coping with those things to really maximize my homeschool experience.
Okay. It definitely fits in well with your schedule and yeah. Your vision of what you want to be doing. So that's wonderful. What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I don't spend too much time these days on hobbies. I would like to more, but I guess a part of that is my hobbies are also what I do because I chose, you know, before you would say a hobby is business, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you're a student and then your hobby is business. But now my thing is business. School is somewhat of a hobby in a way. They're both on par with each other. But I guess one thing I do really love to do is go on a run, exercise, hit the gym. It really does impact my entire day from doing schoolwork or doing business work or doing even interviews is making sure I get exercise, making sure that my body is really feeling it. I think a lot of entrepreneurs, students who are at home, often, you know, we live a sedentary lifestyle, sitting down a lot. So it's really important that I eat healthy, sleep a lot, and get a ton of exercise every day.
Excellent advice. Okay. Do you have any mentors?
Yeah, I have a lot of mentors. I mean, first and foremost, my parents are great mentors. I mean, whenever I have an issue with something, need some advice, or just need someone to kind of listen to my thought process, I'll just, you know, in the car, talk to them about it. At the dinner table, my sisters can get annoyed with me kind of like ranting about business for the entire dinner. But, you know, they're definitely some of my biggest mentors. You know, I guess role models, Guy Raz, someone I look up to a lot for podcasting. Gary V, I'm sure you know Gary V, someone I look up to a lot in terms of just general life. Those are the main two.
Okay. Very good. Very good mentors. So any teens who are listening, who are thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, what's one piece of advice that you would give to them?
Try it out. You never really know whether something's going to be successful or a failure, if you love something, if you don't love something, if you don't try it out. So if you're considering being an entrepreneur, you know, I believe that not everyone can be an entrepreneur, but I believe that I believe wholeheartedly that everyone can try out being an entrepreneur. So I would encourage you to just find something you love doing, a passion, see how you can turn it into a business. It's more than possible these days. You can create content about it. You can create a blog. You can create a company selling a companion item. You could try to make a new thing altogether. Find your passion, something you enjoy doing. Find a way to connect it to a business. Give yourself, you know, follow your excitement, follow your curiosity. Try it out. If you really love doing it, great, continue. If you hate it, great. There's no shame in turning around. And just follow your excitement and curiosity with business. Try it out. If you like it, keep going. If you don't like it, okay. No shame in pivoting. That would be my best advice.
Excellent advice. There's so many opportunities out there. It's just unbelievable. And like you said, following your passion. I've talked with different teens who've come up with this idea and just kind of go forward with it. And by following their passion, I think that's important.
Yeah. Following curiosities, excitements, mm-hmm. Very, very important.
Yeah. All right. And then if you could go back and change one thing that you did when you were first starting out, is there anything that you would change?
I would have told myself to be a little more flexible on pivoting. So I think one thing that I did when I was young was I kind of spent a little too much time on things I no longer felt excitement or, and I still do sometimes, on things I don't feel the passion for anymore. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to kind of give up on it, just like I talked about in the last question. That's my advice, would be a little more flexible, being okay with changing my mind, doing something else if my heart's more in that's I think that's my best advice that I would give myself.
Okay. And then on the flip side, what's something that you did that was very successful for you?
I think it was focusing more on relationships with people than I ever did about money or fame or anything like that. And I still believe in that today, because even though it's the EO podcast, we never had astronomical listeners. I never intended to monetize it, but the relationships I built from those, you know, friends that I talk to every day now, friends that I'm working on cool projects with, those connections are worth so much more, especially when we're young. They're worth so much more than money or fame. So I would really, you know, unless you want to need to make money really quick for whatever reason, if you're doing this for fun to try it out, I think really, really, really focus on meeting people, networking, building a community before you ever focus on money, monetization, fame, or anything like that.
That's such a great mindset. And you're not the first entrepreneur that I've spoken with who has said that. So
yeah.
That's great to have that mindset. And I think you'll find huge success with that. Yeah,
thank you.
Okay. The pandemic, has that affected you in any way negatively or positively?
I mean, yeah, I know it's changed a lot of people's lives, but for me, it's been a positive for me. It definitely gave me an opportunity, and I think everyone, gave everyone an opportunity to rethink their life and what matters, what doesn't matter, and really just prioritizing things. So, you know, before the pandemic, we had so much going on. Everyone had extracurriculars, hobbies, you know, things like that. The pandemic kind of forced everyone to kind of rethink their life. You had nothing to do, basically. So you're at home and you couldn't go anywhere. So you had to rethink your life. What matters? Do I enjoy this? Do I not enjoy this? It also gave an opportunity for a lot of people to switch to digital careers like podcasting or blogging or social media. And it's been a positive for me, because it's without it, I doubt that I would be right here homeschooling and doing the interview at 10 a.m. on Thursday, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's been a positive for me.
You're definitely a glass half full kind of person. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last question I wanted to ask you, because it's related to podcasting, which you are heavily involved with. Is there a side of podcasting that you like better? Which side of the microphone do you like being on, the interviewer or the guest, if you have a preference?
That's such a tough one. I mean, it really depends. There are people I interview that, like the Evan Carmichael one, that I love being on the asking side of it. You know, or like when I did my Kids CEO episodes, when they were really cinematic documentary style, you know, I loved being on the interviewer side of it because I can then craft it and release something that I was really proud of. On the other hand, you know, sometimes I really do enjoy being on this side of the microphone. You know, there are a few episodes that I've done that, you know, I also felt really proud of. So it's I don't think it's black and white. You know, there are, it's a balance.
Well, you do both extremely well. So
thank you.
And so I thank you very much for taking the time to be on this podcast with us and talking to our teen audience. And I invite them to follow you on social media. I'll put all of your information in our show notes so they can get that. And I think they'll have a blast following you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Take care.
Pretty great interview with Benjamin, huh? I told you he has his finger on the pulse of today. Podcasting, NFTs, media, just to name a few topics. He is a force in this area, and he's only going to continue to move up and grow. So be sure that you follow him so that you can stay on top of everything that's current in his world and your world. We'll have all of his contact information in the show notes for this episode. And I think that the most important thing about Benjamin is that he's, as I mentioned before, humble and kind. And he knows what's important in the business world, and that is relationships. As you get to know him better, you will definitely experience this. Thank you for listening. Stay well. Be kind.